Appreciate Gavin for leading our singing tonight. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 9 this evening. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 20 through 22. You know, Jesus was a person who had the ability to perform miracles. And there are several miracles recorded in the New Testament of Jesus doing. One of those miracles is found here in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 20 through 22. And it must have been quite a conversation because we find this miracle couched inside of another miracle. That is, as Jesus was on his way to do one miracle to help a man whose daughter had just died, while he was on the way to that, there was this woman who he worked a miracle on as he was traveling. And it must have been something of a piece of conversation, this woman who had an issue of blood, because when you had this situation back then, everyone knew about it. It wasn't something that was private or no one knew about it. And you say, well, why is that the case? Because of the laws of Moses and the things that people who had such problems were prohibited from doing. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, and look at this conversation that Jesus has with the woman who had an issue of blood. Look at verse 20. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. The King James Version uses this expression, thy faith has made thee whole. This is a story that I think we're all familiar with. And as we think about this story, I want us to think about three things. First of all, we're going to look at the condition of this woman and what was going on with her. And secondly, we're going to look at the cure that Jesus heals her. And then finally, we will see some closure that is made within her life. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 8 and verses 43 through 48, Luke records the same story. And Matthew also records this story. Mark, that is, records this story in Mark chapter 5 and verses 24 through 34. And so we'll be looking at all of these passages as we think about this miracle. First of all, let's look at her condition. She had a problem. We might call it a disease. I don't know if we'd call it a disease today, but it would definitely be a problem that was ongoing. A chronic ailment, we would say, right? Something that she could not do anything about. The Bible says it was a flow of blood or an issue of blood. And this is a problem that sometimes women have today. And that can be today with modern medicine very easily corrected, right? We won't go into the details, but nevertheless, it's something that happens. And it happens frequently to many women in the world. But this situation made her unclean, according to the law of Moses. If you turn back to Leviticus chapter 15, and starting at about verse 25, look at what the law of Moses says concerning this situation. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. Now this would present a tremendous amount of difficulty for someone who had such a condition. Can you imagine having to every single day declare yourself unclean? And those who didn't want to be in that situation of being unclean would avoid you. There would be a tremendous amount of concern for one's clothing, a tremendous amount of concern for one's bedding, a tremendous amount of concern for association, and the ritual bathing would have to occur every single day if one was in close proximity and contact with this person. Now, when we look at what it says about this woman's condition in Matthew chapter 9, it says that she had undergone this circumstance for 12 years. 12 years of being unclean. 12 years of having to avoid people. 12 years of keeping up with the daily chores that are associated with such a situation. And I suppose after a while, this would become tremendously burdensome. But not only that, there would have been that amount of time not being able to enter the temple, because those who were unclean could not enter the temple. Can you imagine not being able to go to worship for 12 years because of a medical condition of some sort? It would be very discouraging. She was looking for a cure. If you turn over to Luke, he talks about the efforts that she made in order to find this cure. Look at Luke chapter 8, starting in about verse 43 here. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. I suppose we can understand that sentiment to a certain degree, spending all your livelihood on physicians. There's a tremendous amount of money that goes into the medical field today. And it's not hard to spend one's livelihood on medical problems. But she had taken everything that she had to try to resolve this situation. She was also one who had been vexed a lot because of her efforts to get help from physicians. in that particular day and time, they didn't have a lot of medical knowledge. There's no telling what they would have tried. It would have been embarrassing. It would have been difficult, no doubt. It would have been a big problem, hassle, and probably painful to a certain degree to have her condition treated. And so there is nothing that she can do for herself here. The situation had only grown worse. None could heal her. And this condition may remind us of another condition that we find in the lives of many today. Not a physical condition, but a spiritual condition. You see, just like this woman, every single one of us has a spiritual problem. And that problem is sin. For those who have not done anything about this problem, it can create tremendous difficulty. It creates separation from God. Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2 tells us. Creates the inability for us to worship God as God wants us to worship Him. It can create problems between us and our loved ones, problems among society, problems with those in our community. And just like her, many try many different things to overcome the problem of sin. They may go see a psychologist. They may go and try to talk to their friends and family to get advice. They may listen to people on the radio or on the television to help them with the problem that they have. But there's only one who can solve this problem, just like there is only one who could solve this woman's problem as well. If we let our sin problem go untreated for years on end, it will create great difficulty, pain, and anguish, and turmoil. What we need is a cure. But there is no physician that can cure the sin problem among men. The religious leaders of our day cannot cure the problem of sin. One's own righteousness cannot cure the problem of sin. No amount of money can cure the problem of sin. Psalm 49 and verses 6 and 7 says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." But if we don't do anything about the problem of sin, it's going to continue to be a problem. It's like James discusses in James chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15. "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. And then, when the lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." That is the end result of what sin will do to our life if it goes untreated. And so that's the condition. Her condition was she had an untreatable issue of blood. Humanity's condition is that we have an untreatable issue of sin. Both of these things create tremendous problems. How then did she deal with her problem? How may we deal with our problem? Let's look at the cure. As we see here in Matthew chapter 9, she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Mark tells us that she heard the reports of Jesus, that she, as one who is looking for a solution to her problem, and I suppose there are many who go about this world sometimes who don't do that. They just don't look for a solution to the problem. So many today think that they're better off, as the old saying goes, dealing with the devil they know. And never think that maybe things can be better if I would just address the issue. They can. She was looking to address the issue, and to that degree, she was ahead of many others because she wanted to find a cure. We know that the reports of Jesus' power circulated greatly among the people of that day and time. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 25 tells us that he went everywhere preaching the kingdom and telling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They heard about his power. They heard about the miracles that he did. They heard about people who were helped tremendously. And she believed because she acted on that faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. It's hard to act on a problem if, number one, we don't know that there's a problem, and number two, we don't know who can cure the problem. But you know, when people have a problem, if they hear just the little hint that Dr. So-and-so over in such and such a town can cure me, they'll beat a path to his door to try to get that cure. And so she, hearing about Jesus, thought, "I'm going to give that a try." Her faith was not like many. It wasn't based upon sight. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Hers was not by sight. As far as we know, she had never seen Jesus before. She had never seen a miracle before. She didn't know what could or couldn't be done. All she knew was that there was a man who she heard could help her. And she set out on faith and told herself, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." That's a tremendous amount of faith. And then she acted on that faith. She didn't just sit back and passively do nothing. But it says that she came in the crowd behind. She had to go to where Jesus was. She had to get through the crowd that was thronging Jesus on the road. He was a popular guy. There were a lot of people who wanted to see him and hear him. It would be like trying to make your way through a tremendous crowd in order to see your favorite star of some kind. And there would be barriers. People would get in your way. They wouldn't be able to necessarily give you a straight path. You would have to push and shove and move up to where that person was so that you could get there. She had faith. Her faith wasn't a dead faith. It was a living and active faith. James chapter 2 tells us that by works, her faith was made perfect or complete. And we think about the cure that this woman pursued. She heard, she believed, she acted. That's exactly the same thing that God wants us to do in respect to the problem of sin. We must hear the word of God, because without hearing, we don't know that we have a problem. We don't know who can save us from that problem. Without faith, the Bible said, it's impossible to be pleasing unto God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And then we've got to act on that faith by repenting of our sins. The times of ignorance God once winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. We must confess that Jesus is the Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter answered them and said, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Sometimes people ask, well, why didn't Jesus say, if you're not baptized, you'll be condemned? Well, why would he have to say that when all you need to do to be condemned is simply not believe? It's like saying, he who buys a ticket and gets on the train shall arrive at his destination. Do you have to say, if you don't buy a ticket and you don't get on the train? No, it's enough to just say, if you don't buy a ticket, you're not going to get there. You got to have both. And this is Jesus' plan. It's not our plan. It's not my plan. It's not man's plan for sure, because they've come up with all kinds of other plans than the one that Jesus actually used. And so there is a cure. And that cure is to hear and believe and act. Because she heard and believed and acted, she received closure. Mark tells us the two things happened immediately. The flow of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Two things. Now, how did that happen? Was it because she touched the hem of his garment? I suppose there might be some who would say, why, if you say you have to touch the hem of his garment, then you believe that salvation is in the garment. How about that, Bro Scott? You know that some people would say that, wouldn't they? That's so ridiculous. It's so silly. We know where the power was. It wasn't in the garment that Jesus was wearing. It wasn't in the fact that she touched the garment that Jesus was wearing. Yet, she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, where was the power? It was in Jesus. And Jesus, it says, actually perceived that power went out from him. Can you imagine the tremendous relief that she must have felt at that moment? She would not be an outcast anymore. She would now be able to have a, quote, clean house in which she could invite guests over to stay with her without them having to worry about becoming unclean. She would now be able to go to the temple and worship. The world had just opened up to her. But Jesus knew something had happened. He perceived that power had gone out from him, and he turned around with all of these people surrounding him. Can you imagine what a scene that would have been? Hundreds of people surrounding you on all sides. The apostles were there. They were probably trying to do crowd management, you know, so that Jesus could get to where he needed to go. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops and he says, "Who touched me?" What a question. What a question. Who touched me? The disciples probably stopped and said, "What are you talking about?" You know, he had said so many things to them that just perplexed them so much. But he realized that someone had touched him. Now, this is interesting because she hadn't touched Jesus himself, right? She had just touched the hem of his garment. When's the last time you felt someone touching the hem of your garment? I've never felt that. Of course, I suppose it depends on how hard they tug. But just to touch it, you would never feel that. And Jesus didn't say, "Who touched the hem of my garment?" Did he? He said, "Who touched me?" Because at some level, she hadn't just touched the hem of his garment. She had touched Jesus himself. Now, this wasn't because Jesus didn't know, but because he wanted to call attention to the fact that he did. It was Jesus who saved her. Nothing else. And so she came before him in fear and trembling, acknowledging what she had done. No doubt she was worried. Here was a great and esteemed rabbi, so much so that there were hundreds of people surrounding him. And rabbis in that day and time had tremendous political power. They could create so many problems for people, casting them out of the synagogue, casting them out of the temple. Jesus himself had issues with rabbis in this day and time. She might have been afraid of what Jesus would do. But instead, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Go in peace. What a tremendous statement. Now she could have peace. Peace that she hadn't known for 12 years because she had been so afflicted by this disease. You know, this miracle is given so that we might understand that if Jesus heals us, we are healed. Period. And we can go in peace. Consider a few verses. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." He has the complete confidence of the Father, and thus what he says goes. If he heals, one is healed. If he forgives, one is forgiven. And we don't have to worry about it. We can go in peace. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Period. If a person believes and he is baptized, then he is saved. And we have complete confidence in Jesus to save us. This blessing comes from him. And when we follow his plan, we can know that he is the one and nothing else that provides us that salvation. We receive closure then to the problem of sin, just as this woman did with her problem. John 8 and verse 36 says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." That's the final word on it. What a tremendous miracle. What tremendous faith it gives us who have not seen Jesus, who have not met him personally, who have not been where he has been, just like this woman. We put our faith and trust in him. Hear his word and believe it. And act on that faith. We can have confidence that we'll be saved. Maybe someone tonight would like to become a child of God. Maybe you're done with the sin problem in your life and you don't like what it's done with you and you want to change. We can help you tonight by getting you in touch with Jesus. And he will save you from your sins and help you to go in peace. So if you have a need this evening, you can come make it known right now while together we stand and while we sing.